The Stone Cold Paradise podcast is a series of informal conversations with the classic rock band Stone Cold Paradise and their collaborators, covering over 50 years of rock and roll.
Actually, lately, did you see that Seaspiracy?
Seaspiracy? No, I didn't see
it. It's pretty good, but the thing I have about it is that it really points out how, like, you know how everyone is on about, oh, get rid of straws, get rid of plastic straws and all that bullshit.
Is that something that people are complaining about, straws?
No, they complain. Whenever you go to a place and everyone's complaining about straws, like, why do you should be using paper straws. It's fuck off. That's the least important thing that's going on
in
the world.
I thought you said strollers. You talking strollers or straws?
Why would I talk about plastic strollers? You have to have a good wooden stroller. I'm an old-fashioned father.
Why do you feel that you have to have a wooden pram versus a plastic one?
Plastic breaks. There's got to be thousands in the ocean.
I understand none of these words.
Which ones?
All the words you said there.
Roger, a stroller, a pram, like what you push a baby around. Like, if you've ever been to Kensington Gardens, you've probably seen someone push a baby down the lane or something like that.
Oh, right, the little ones, right?
Yeah, small people, Roger.
Wait, right. Are you confused as to what babies are?
Well, they're very tiny, are they not?
Right. Yeah, no, they're tiny humans, young right. humans.
Right, right. They don't like to walk around by themselves, no?
Roger, for some reason, I can't imagine you holding a child.
No. I can't imagine myself, nope.
If you were to hold a child, Roger, would you hold it like you hold a bass?
I suppose I would, right? You grab one of those tiny ones, right? Put your fingers like right here, and the other one's like this. Is that like a bass, right?
You play the bass.
You play the bass. I think you'll know what it's like to play it.
Right. I know.
Roger, if you had a baby and you were holding it, would you play the baby?
Probably, yeah. Right. Everything has a sound in it.
Wait, where would the frets be on the baby?
Oh, that's a good question, right?
The toes, probably. It's like a keyboard.
Right. I suppose you're right.
It's like a built-in keyboard on the toes, you know? There's right. 10 of them.
But what does a keyboard have to do with a bass string?
I don't know.
No. You're the smart one. You tell us, right?
Yeah, tell us.
You tell us, Barney.
You tell us, Barney.
If a baby had bass strings on it, it would run just across the belly button, right around the rim of the back. You would hold the baby hamburger ways instead of hot dog ways.
Well, come on now. You just stupid now.
No. Why is it stupid?
Listen to yourself.
Hamburger ways instead of hot dog ways.
Yes, it's a classic way of describing the width long or length long part of a baby.
I think a baby looks like a hot dog, you know. Doesn't quite look like a hamburger.
What did you do for that charity you used to run? What was that called? Buns for Babes?
Oh, yeah, Buns for Babies. Yeah, we gave them little hats that look like little hamburger buns and they keep the sun out of their eyes.
Very nice.
Roger was at that one, actually. He kept going, what are these things?
Right, are these
what
things?
What are these things that are all over the place? And I was like, those are babies, Roger. And he goes, oh my God, they're so weird looking.
Right. Mark, wasn't this a charity for your own babies?
Oh yeah, I haven't done the test, you know, but I just accept every time I'm told I have a baby out there, I go, yeah, it's probably mine.
But you've had a lot of women come to you and say that this is your baby.
Yeah, I mean, who am I to say it's not? If I'm like, oh yeah, we shag. It's like, yeah, they're probably mine, you know?
But like an alarming amount of women have gotten allegedly pregnant from you.
In the hundreds.
In the hundreds.
Yeah, imagine I could have my own little small country of all my babies on one place at one time. That's how many children I have.
You want to have like a Vatican City or an Andorra of hawk babies.
What's Andorra?
It's another small country.
Oh.
We'll be right back.
I think I should mention, gentlemen, that I have brought in a special friend that we all remember from recording days. Do you remember Bramba Lunowitz?
I'll remember Bramba.
Bramba, as you know, used to run the Windsor Motel where we stayed while recording. And I happened to run into her while buying a pasty in the local market. And I said, Bramba, it's been ages. And she said, what? And so I was like, I think I'll bring her back into the studio and just have a bit of a chat and maybe talk about old times. I was, the first album that we recorded while staying in the hotel was Famous for Money.
Record her a little bit, right? When she was at the desk. We got some of that on the album.
Yeah, we put, like, you know how some tracks, they have like a bunch of dialogue that leads into the songs.
Yes.
Right, like Dark Side of the Moon.
Right, no, that's right. Our original take had Bramba just talking about, I think, actually pretty sensitive tax information on the other that she was having a phone call with.
Exactly.
And
right.
We actually, I think we have her social security number.
Yes, I believe she was actually direct on the phone with the National Revenue Service.
Yeah, but don't worry, because we played the social security number backwards. Like,
don't tell people that.
Hold on. You can't, they're going to go.
Anyway, hold on just a second. I'm going to bring her in. Bramba.
What?
I think we're ready for you. You want to come into the studio?
Hello, Bramba.
Hello, Bramba.
Oh, kids. Oh, God, it's good to see you again.
Bramba, I can't help but notice that you have foil in your hair.
Ah, again? Oh, boy. You know, you make a sandwich, it gets crazy.
That's a lot of foil for a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
It looked more like a tin foil hat.
I'm going to be honest with you. I fell asleep a little bit while I was making the sandwich. Sometimes I go face down. It's wild. I've partied so hard in my life that sometimes it's just the old brain gives out.
It's also because when you use turkey to make a sandwich, there's tryptamine in it, or that stuff that makes you tired.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you're just eating the tryptamine because I get that stuff in pill form, too. So
you buy tryptamine. Uh-huh,
so yeah. when you go to like any one of the pharmacies,
oh,
is there
no,
like-
no, they don't sell that stuff in the pharmacy. You gotta go down the street for that. And when I say down the street, I mean an alleyway or God, I forget. What do you British kids call it now?
An alleyway.
An alleyway.
the walk around.
What?
Oh, God.
All right. No, I get it now.
Yeah. I got a guy who gives me my turkey chemicals.
Well, Bramba, are you still working at the Windsor?
Oh, yes, my pride and joy.
The last time we stayed there, I remember you had an entire school bus full of children without parents.
Oh, I would like to not talk about that on mic, if that's okay. It's not a labor thing. And if anybody asks, I don't know anything about it.
Is it a labor thing, though?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a labor thing.
Are they doing turn down service?
A little bit, yeah. They do. They clean the bathrooms and stuff sometimes. It's just I find the laws here like really let me get away with some stuff. That's why it's great to be a business owner here in jolly old London Town. You can really get away with some stuff when you sound like me. They do not want to hear what I have to say.
So it's like a bit of the reverse. Whenever we go into America, people are like, oh, we love your accent. You can say whatever you want to me.
And back where I'm from, it's you guys talk and everybody's like, oh, that's the smartest person I've ever heard. And when I talk, everyone's pretty much like, that's the last person I want to hear for the rest. I never want to hear a person like this again.
Oh, Bramba, don't say that.
No, that's not fair.
No,
don't say that.
No. You know, it's true. I'm not cultured like all of you, but that's why I wanted to stay here. I wanted to soak it up.
Bramba, I think you're underrepresenting yourself. You were born in America. You moved to London and you spent years in a different culture and you've adapted.
Well, you know what? You're nice. That's very nice of you. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I'm just a Virginia girl who studied abroad and got lost before the plane went home. So I really, you know, you got to make it work. And I fell in love with the place and the rest is history.
Bramba, your relatives, do they know where you are?
Oh, well, they do now. They were not looking for me for a while.
Oh, that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very sad.
That's about par for the course for old Bramba.
Well, that's sort of, that's a bit of the charm of of the Windsor Motel is that, you know, you advertise that as a place where if you don't want to be found, you can't be found.
That's true.
It's sort of a runaways, but it's very nice.
Or just a place to go if no one is looking for you.
Right.
Absolutely. That sounds seedy, but I really don't mean it to be that way. I really want, you know, I wanted a nice kind of place. For some reason, it does not show up on Google Maps, and I cannot change that.
It reminds me of a Cecil Hotel that's a bit nicer.
Mm-hmm. With more felt on the walls.
With more felt.
What's the Cecil?
Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles. Yeah, that's the one that's like right by Skid Row there.
Is that the murder one?
That's right, the murder hotel.
I found a lady in a water tank.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My brother swore he knew her, but I don't believe him.
He swore.
Yeah, he said, oh, I knew her. And I said, you say you know everybody.
Does he say that?
Yeah, he does. Well, he wants to know who all the murder victims are. I don't know why it's a thing with him, but he, you know.
Now, when we were recording, it became a bit of a tradition, really, to stay at the Windsor while we were recording. What was it again? Famous for Money.
My favorite album, because it was the one recorded while you're at a hotel.
Well, I think we drew a lot of inspiration from the hotel, didn't we?
I mean, it definitely made us realize that money was a key factor in why we wanted to be famous.
people have that realization there a lot. A lot of people come to my motel and then they're like, oh boy, I got to get some money. I don't want this. And I like to think I'm inspiring people. That's nice.
Well, and it also was one of those things where when I saw the name Windsor Motel, I assumed that it was perhaps higher class. And then I'd signed a stay contract for, I think, 4 months.
Your contracts.
Yes.
Yep. I swear.
And I would like to say to that, you're welcome. That was part of the plan the whole time. You want to dress for the job you want. You got to name it for the kind of fancy you want to be.
I agree with you 100%. I always say lemons into American iced tea. And I truly believe that...
What do you say?
Lemons into American iced tea.
Lemons into... What does that mean?
Lemons into American iced
tea. It's the old saying. If life gives you lemons, put it in American iced tea.
Is that the saying?
Yeah, that's the way the lemon crumbles, I think is what you're thinking of.
I think that might be something else as well.
Are you talking about two lemons in your palm?
And one in the bush.
And you're pretty good off, right? Yeah, two lemons there, you know?
Two lemons in your palm, you're pretty good off. That's a good saying.
Yeah, two lemons are better than one.
Right.
But my point being that staying in your motel for the first time was truly an experience that made us really reevaluate the kind of sound that we needed to make. And we were having all kinds of problems in the studio at the time, as mix boards wouldn't work. Our 480 reverberation unit was playing backwards, you know, all kinds of things.
I think it was haunted, right? Yeah.
Yes, we had a haunted reverb unit.
Right.
If that was the case, then my motel did not help you out, because a lot of people have died there. So if it was haunted, I don't know if you brought the ghosts or you picked up some new ones, but it's like the King's Crossing of ghosts in my motel. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're British, you get it.
No, you don't understand that one, yeah.
It's train station.
You know, it's possible we brought the ghosts, now that I think about it, right?
We did.
Because we went there, now they have ghosts. We went back to our equipment, no ghosts.
Oh, you left me well, man.
True. Right.
No?
Well, there was that one night.
That's the way the lemon rolls into it, you know?
Right.
There was that one night, though, I think Hawk and I had a bit of an experience with a ghost.
Yeah, I was having sex with someone, and you walked in the room. And turns out the thing, it was a ghost I was having sex with. It wasn't really a person.
Oh, yeah, that'll happen.
And then... that'll happen. Hawk. That happens all the time, does it?
Yeah.
I mean this with all sincerity. Are you sure you weren't just humping the air?
This was like really cold.
Oh, okay, all right.
Like grabbing something like a really cold water balloon or something, but like without the balloon, you know.
Like a chill.
So water.
So water.
Did you hear like a sort of like howling, growling sound as well, like a ah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the ghosts.
Do all the ghosts make sound?
I'll tell you, boys, tips of the trade, there's always a ghost in the motel. And when you think you're going to get them, you think you're going to get the nice sort of, you know, wispy, see-through ladies with a Victorian dress kind of floating around going, ooh. That's not what they are. They sit around and they go, gah!
Interestingly enough, at the hotel, I did see a woman in a flowy Victorian dress, but it was a convention.
Oh, yeah. We host a lot of those. It's just people who want to go back in time for some stupid fucking reason.
Wait, so what are the various noises that ghosts make in your hotel?
Oh, boy, they're rude, I'll tell you what. You know, you wish they would be a little more ambient, but instead, okay, so that the howling growling is the first one. You go, ah, you can shut up over there. I get it. You're dead. You're scary. But sometimes this is the most disconcerting one. It's sort of, it's like a jabbing sound. They go, ah! Yeah. I don't know. All I could think is the ghost was trying to fight off a dog when it died or something. I don't know what's happening.
Well, maybe there's a ghost dog, right?
Oh, maybe there's a ghost dog. I think it'd be cute. I haven't seen one, though.
You would assume that would just bark, though.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But maybe the ghost dog is antagonizing. You never know.
Right.
Anyway, my motel is filled to the brim with ghosts.
Were there any notable deaths from the first year that you took over the hotel?
You'll have to be more specific than that. People die there all the time.
It really is like the Cecil Hotel.
It's exactly like the Cecil.
It's unfortunate, really. Obviously, I don't try to advertise it, but someone's always drowning in the tub, or someone gets tangled up in the sheets and can't get out, and they're all blue and heavy when I get in there.
Brembo, when you find a body, you know, so you don't upset the guests, do you do a weekend at Bernie's where you dress the deceased as, like, you know, a person that's still alive, sunglasses or Hawaiian shirt, and then kind of push them out like, nothing to see here, just having a good time?
You know, I tried that. Look, there's a lot of things. First of all, I don't just have clothes on hands that fit every cadaver.
Right.
You know, I can't have a wardrobe for all the dead people in my motel. And also, I'm not so good with voices. You know, I don't know if you know, my voice is pretty specific. So I sometimes they'd be like, oh, nice to meet you. And I'll try to be like, nice to meet you, you mighty. Because I assumed they were British too.
Probably, right.
And I couldn't get away with it. People started looking at me funny. I said, oh, don't Yelp this, you know. I don't want any Yelps about these dead bodies.
Bramble, what do you do when the authorities come around?
I tell them the truth. Nobody's getting killed. It's just, it's a place. It sort of feels like my motel is the place where people want to die. I don't know why. It's just something in the air.
I'll admit, the first time I walked into that hotel, the first thing I said was, I want to die.
Yeah, I get that.
But it was a freeing feeling. It was peaceful.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I think I did heroin for like 6 days straight at that motel.
I actually dressed you up. I tried to Bernice you out of there. And then you woke up and I went, oh, God, this one's alive. Yeah. Oh, and I just adore you guys so much. And I just always wanted to host a rock band. I was really sad when one of you died. I'm not sad about all the people because I don't know most of them. But oh, no, not one of these guys. No. Oh, I got a rock band in here. One of them died. Oh, man.
Yes. Sadly, one of our lead guitars passed away.
Not in my motel, though.
No,
not there.
That one didn't die in my hotel.
No. He fell off the bus.
That's right. No, he was under the bus. Not physically under, but, you know, underneath with the luggage.
Right.
Yes, he fell asleep in the luggage compartment. And then, as you know, sometimes we just drive with the luggage compartments open.
Well, you have to air it out, you know. It smells like dead bodies.
The guy that was driving said, all right, who left this open? You saw the dead body. You threw it under the bus. Literally threw it.
That's right.
Which is where the phrase thrown under the bus comes from.
Right.
Yeah, it comes from our band.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people know that.
Not everyone knows that.
No.
Oh, yeah, we had a whole bus album after that.
That's right.
It was just called The Wheels on the Bus.
Oh, yeah. I bought that one for my nephew because I thought it was a Raffi album. It turned out it was you guys. It was such a nice surprise.
Well, at one point, I did think that I wanted to be a drummer who also just created songs for kids. So I went and I recreated all of the Raffi songs. Most notably, What
Baby
was that?
Baby Beluga?
Baby Beluga and the Deep Blue Sea. Was that right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where Baby Baloo Bus came from. That was a good one.
I heard that one. It's basically the same song. I'm not much of a musicker, but I caught that.
Yeah, it's not very different. A Baby Baloo Bus in the Deep Big Bus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the kids' album we did was great. Parents loved it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this. I wrote for an entire season of Sesame Street songs.
Did you really?
I did.
When did you do that?
1987.
Oh, which songs?
Well, there were 14 songs that I wrote over the course of the season. The first one was called "We Can't See the Address Numbers," and that was the name of the song. It was just people on Sesame Street complaining that they can't see the Sesame Street mm-hmm. numbers because as you remember at the time there was a postal strike, and so I thought, why not call attention to the issue?
And did you?
No, I don't think people understood that that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, they don't let you put a lot of explainers around the song. Huh?
No.
I had no idea you had such a connection to Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jem Henson and I used to be soccer buddies.
What buddies? What?
Soccer buddies.
What buddies?
Oh, soccer.
Soccer buddies.
What words are you saying right now?
I'm saying soccer buddies. Soccer?
Football buddies.
No, right. In the States they call it soccer.
Yeah, that is a true thing.
It sounds like you're saying suckle. And I'm imagining you and Jim Henson being suckle buddies.
Yeah, you didn't want to be one of those with Jim Henson. My brother says he knew him, and he said, you don't want to suckle with that guy.
That's true. He had rancid nipples.
Wait, but does your brother actually know Jim Henson?
Probably not. He's such a fucking liar.
Now, Bremmer, I don't want to, you know, toot our own horn here, but I feel like after we stayed at your hotel to make our album, Famous for Money, it became a bit of a hotspot. Business did pretty well for you. You had a lot of celebrities come in.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's what I always wanted. You know, you get lost in England and you go, I gotta figure out how to make a living here. And then you start a motel because, you know, just letting people sleep places is all you know. And then a rock band comes through and really changes everything. I was on the map, and the people came just to stay in the room where you all stayed in. I said, this is where one of them almost died in heroin fog.
That was the other thing, is that we all stayed in one room together. I forgot about
it. It was cheaper.
Yes.
Oh, gosh, you guys were adorable. I peeked in a couple of times. I wanted to make sure you were okay, but yeah, gosh, you're all so cute. You're just rock stars. I wanted you to tear the place up and go, oh, God, no, rock stars came in here.
You know, my favorite part of the hotel, you did quite a nice complimentary breakfast. You know, I love those little packets. Those little packets of salt you would have in the front room. Those was so
my
great.
My famous salt.
Oh, that's right. There was a period where all you were on that
sodium diet.
A sodium diet where all you ingest is salt in various form.
Did you notice I had muffins and scones?
Oh, yeah, I can't have carbs.
That's why you're so skinny, I guess. That's why you're so thin. And the heroin probably too, but yeah. But you guys really put me on the map, you know. It's the
but
motel.
Not the actual map.
Right.
No, not the actual map. Google I maps. Can't get onto it, and I don't know why. It's like it's sort of like a blank spot on the map. Doesn't even matter what browser you look on. It's just you can't put in coordinates or anything for some reason.
It's almost like the Bermuda Triangle, where things come to it, and it was like a portal to the underworld. Like that's where your location is, which is why it doesn't show up on a map.
I would think that maybe I don't know that. It's the ghost trying to keep people away. But some of the ghosts really like people. Some of the ghosts are...
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they're just so present. They're always fucking showing off, you know? Yeah, some of these ghosts, I was like, oh, just be... come on, guys, just calm down because we got some nice people here. We got... Yeah, Kate Middleton stayed there by accident once. She thought she'd go somewhere else, and she ended up booking a room. I thought, oh, this is good. If I get a Yelp review from Kate Middleton, that's really something.
Was this before she'd married William?
Oh, yeah. This was before when she was just, she was just another stone-cold fox out in the world. And so she, you know, she's trying to have a nice time, and the books in the lobby are flying all back and forth, and you're hearing that, You know, they're really putting on a show for her. They're flicking the lights and they're exploding the eggs. There's a regular Ghostbusters in there.
Now, Bramba, do you have any kind of rapport with the ghosts? Like, is there any, can you communicate with them in a way that, I don't know, that that they respond to?
I would say my rapport is that of a neighbor who really fucking hates her neighbor's kids, you know, and they just won't leave her alone. You know, that's what I feel like the rapport is. I mean, these ghosts, I assume they're all ages and periods and stuff, because sometimes you catch them, you catch a glimpse of them. And you'd be like, that guy looks like a mod guy, or you know, this guy looks like a soldier or something. But they're all a bunch of fucking scamps, and they really just, I'm not even scared of them. The first time I went, oh no, and then every time after that, I was like, you get out of here, you fucking scamps.
It's a great band name, isn't it?
Did I answer your question?
I feel like I got a good full idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they scare me so much. I'd say they're a nuisance. You know, it's like a pest you just can't get rid of. Mm-hmm. But some people like that about the hotel. The word got out. This old American bride is in this hotel that's just filled to the brim with ghosts.
Bramba, are you married?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, they can't tie me down, and they can't find me either, because a couple of times I've tried to invite someone over to have a date, maybe say, oh, come pick me up after work, and they never make it.
Oh, right, because you drop a pen and the pen disappears.
Yeah, I've tried to give like the longitude and latitude sometimes, and that doesn't seem to work. It's just, I don't, you know, it's unfindable.
It's just so interesting, because what you describe seems to be a willful malevolence of the dead to keep you from having a relationship.
Like I said, they're a bunch of fucking nuisances.
Bonnie, what if you used your songwriting powers, the ones you used on Sesame Street, mm-hmm. to help her out, right? You know, we can't find the street address, right?
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea. We could write a little song. Can you tell me how to get to the Windsor Motel?
Right.
Oh gosh, I would love that. Oh, I could use it in commercials. I probably won't make a commercial, but I could put it on the outgoing answering machine message.
You would put an entire song on your outgoing answering machine message.
Yeah, because you, who are you calling? Oh, it's the Windsor Hotel. But I could just say it, or you could sing it, and that's nice. That's another thing that sets us apart. We got a song and ghosts.
Oh, the bridge would be, because the ghosts have got to be there too.
Right, yeah. Right, if we can all harmonize on the,
yeah, you got to put a little grizzle on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one was like a smoker guy or something.
Mm-hmm.
None of us tried to harmonize.
No, we all pretty much sang the same note.
Good point.
Yeah.
Can ghosts sing?
Why not?
They sure think they can, but they're not as good as you guys. Boy, every now and then. After you guys left, the ghosts were singing your songs for a good couple of weeks. I said, leave it to the professionals, you guys. Okay? But they don't listen. It's that thing where it's like, if I tell them to stop, they're going to do it more. So I kind of had to let them, like, run out of steam a little bit. It's like a bad kid.
You know, the interesting thing about it is you mentioned that they were singing our songs, but I had the weirdest feeling while writing that some of the songs just felt like they were being put into my brain in a way.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry about that. Oh, God, that's embarrassing. They'll possess you a little bit sometimes.
I remember that happened when I picked up my guitar, and all of a sudden I was playing a song about drowning in the pool water filter. And I was like, I died in the filter, and I was like, where is this? It's just coming to me. And then I realized I had the entire story of another person who died in the water filter.
That was Giles Witherby.
Giles Witherby,
97. Yeah, he thought it was a good idea to get in the pool. I said, you should not get in that pool. And he did it anyway, and his face got chapped up in the filter.
Okay. Actually, I don't usually write songs. I remember writing a song about the man dressing up as a clown and gathering children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that one I can't explain. That's actually not one of the ghosts. That's one of our regulars.
Pennywise.
Yeah, he goes by Pennywise. His real name's Jeff. And I keep trying not to rent to him, but yeah.
Yeah, he kept calling me Georgie.
Yeah, was he talking to you from the sewer? Because yeah, sometimes he crawls on down there.
I'm not going to go into the sewer and talk to you.
That was the strange thing about, if you don't mind me saying so, about the Windsor Motel is that there are sewers everywhere.
Oh, yeah, well, that's why it was so cheap. Like I said, I mean, I was just a kid out of college. Well, still in college, didn't finish it because I got left behind. But
like on a bus?
Or like Jesus Christ came and all your friends went to
heaven. Or you were on a bus with Jesus and he said, I got to go, mate. I'll see you later.
Like the George W. Bush education bill.
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. And yeah, I was an exchange student, semester abroad kind of thing. And then they all flew home and they forgot about old Bramba. So I said, well, sometimes you got to make lemons out of a pile of bricks. Like, you know what they say back home.
Bramba, this may seem a bit of a strange question, but are you now a UK citizen?
That's a good question. And if you find out the answer, I'd love to know.
I think that's a no, wait, right?
Wait, so the student that you exchanged with, are they still with your parents then?
Well, that's a good question too. They won't take my calls.
So yeah. they don't take your calls? They just decided to leave you be and live on with this exchange student?
I don't actually think my parents are with us anymore. That's what my brother said. And they were pretty old, so they probably didn't make it. They were about as unhealthy as you could possibly get. They were drinking gravy.
Oh, right. Thanksgiving has been devastating for your family, right? You with your tryptophan.
Tryptophan, yes.
Addiction. Oh. The gravy.
I'm not sure they're alive anymore, and that's okay. We were never very close, so you know, I don't blame them for maybe keeping that British kid. That's what you got to do. You got to make gravy out of lemons.
Bramba, what kind of childhood did you have?
I'd say a pretty traditional one. You know, I two parents, 14 sisters, one brother.
14 sisters.
It's a Catholic family. So. You have Church of England here. That was a Catholic family.
So you had 14 sisters and a brother, and then they just switched you for the exchange program.
Oh yeah. Well, I volunteered. I wanted to get a little culture, and boy, you should have seen me before. Yeah, I am a cultured dame now.
Yeah, but I heard the boy you switched with was Eddie Redmayne. Yeah.
All right, Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah, you've heard of him.
He's quite famous now, yeah.
Oh, he is? What does he do?
Movies.
For adults or for...
Primarily adults.
He actually did a lot of adult films. Redmayne, like a lion's mane. That's right. A lot of people think that he's the same person as Eddie Redmayne from like the series of the Harry Potter series. This other guy, he just does a lot of mane porn, you know.
But I heard he does the porn parodies first, and then the famous bloke, exactly. He rips him off and makes non-parody versions of the movies, right?
To be clear, this was a British boy raised in America who became an adult film star who then made parody porn films before the movie actually came out.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I mean, look, that's probably their influence on him, if I'm being honest. When you got 15 kids running around,
16, right? You were the 16th.
Yeah, well, one of them died pretty young. Died pretty young skydiving. They said, do not let that kid... Do not let that kid jump out of a plane. And they said, but that's what he wants for his birthday.
Well, now, what age was that?
Six.
Six-year-old boy jumped out of a plane. And how old were you at the time?
I was 24. Okay. I'm the second to oldest.
So you were already in England, and this had really no particular impact. In fact, you didn't even know the child, right?
Because I didn't actually ever meet him. So that's why I really say I only have one brother, is because I didn't meet that one.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess there's 17 of us. Well, it's hard to keep track.
Is there a saying for that many children in Virginia?
Oh yeah, I call that a whole bushel of lemons in the bird brack. But you wouldn't have heard of that. You're not from America.
Some things never cross the pond.
Lemon Party did, though. We did see that one. Do you all not remember that one?
Lemon Party.
It was an early internet thing. pretty graphic. Anyways, Google it.
Oh, is that an Eddie Redmayne film?
Right, it is.
Is that what that is? Rambo, we have a few pieces of fan mail here.
Oh! You rock stars are crazy. I assumed Rockstar Life was going to be nothing but, you know, good groupies and tearing rooms apart, and you're just a bunch of nice boys who read fan mail and sleep in the same bed.
Who's got the first one? Anyone? I can go first.
Why don't you go first, then?
Okay. Dear Stone Cold Paradise, release me. For many years, I have been held victim, waiting to be released from the dark depths from which you hold me. Release me. It's unsigned.
Anyone know who that might be?
How do you interpret that letter, Rot?
Oh, well, honestly, it sounds like everything that's ever whispered next to my bed as I sleep. So I...
Right, very normal, very normal.
But it sounds, I mean, maybe you picked up the ghosts when you dropped off some other ones. That must be it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's possible.
Yeah.
This could be a ghost trapped in some form of gear or...
Well, actually, it's funny you see that because the letter I got... it's very short, and it's actually signed to you, Bramba.
Oh,
that's nice. I love it.
Yeah, it says, "Where's the toilet paper?" And it's signed Windsor Ghost 17.
Oh, that fucking asshole. He thinks he can go by Windsor Ghost like he's the only one there. That selfish piece of shit. I know exactly which one that guy is. And oh boy, I'm going to have some words with him when I get back. I'm going to put all the sage in the hotel. Damn it, son of a bitch.
Does Sage actually do anything to the ghost? Do they not like it?
I think it might be egging them on.
Have you tried a different herb?
Yeah, I tried oregano once, and that just brought like a bunch of Italian ghosts. Yeah, there's a bunch of ghosts that were like, Mamma Mia. And I was like, get out of here, you goofs.
I mean, it stands to reason. Roger, Hawk?
Oh, yeah, I got a bit of fan mail here. Yeah, let me just... Dear Kim, I know we don't technically know each other, but I make a killer bridesmaid. So I'd really appreciate you putting me in your wedding, Kim Kardashian. Oh, this is from 52611, so they sent this one to us quite a while ago.
Well, and apparently not to us.
it was definitely in our fan mail, so...
Do you do a lot of weddings in the motel?
There's a lot of breakups at the weddings that happen at my hotel.
Meaning the bride and groom?
Yeah, a lot of them don't make it.
So their relationship doesn't make it, or they expire?
A little bit of both.
Or they get sucked into the TV by a spirit.
Okay, Roger, that only happened at one time.
Right.
I think the HBO had something to do with it. I'm not going to take a risk with HBO. Showtime all the way.
Right, Showtime.
I actually use Cinemax.
Got Skinemax.
That's Eddie Redmayne's channel, huh?
Yeah, that's his channel.
Skinemax.
Skinemax.
Oh, I have a letter here.
All right, Roger.
Dear Stone Cold Paradise and Bramba, direct to all of us. It's nice.
Everyone's so nice.
What's new with you? Oh, that's it. All right. Not much there.
Well, I can start on my end. I bought my first bidet.
Mm. Oh.
I absolutely love it.
Alistair, I'm so glad you finally got on the bidet train.
I'm on the bidet train.
Once I thought I was getting on the bidet train, but it turned out it was... very different, and I thought it was going to take me back home to America. Turns out you can't take a train to America.
But... You tried to board a train called the bidet train?
Yeah, it turned out it was a sex party, but...
Can I tell you the name of my bidet?
Oh, can I guess? Is it Jim?
No, that's a great guess. That's a great guess. Hawk, did you...
would like to also guess Jim.
Okay. You're also guessing Jim.
Two gyms.
So that's two gyms, even though the first gym I said that wasn't correct.
Terry.
And what did you call?
Oh, Tsunami.
Actually, I call my bidet Day Bidet.
Oh, it's like a Godspell thing.
Right, it's sort of like the Godspell version of Jesus is cleansing me.
He's spraying water up into the supple cheeks.
1970s Jesus is cleaning the outer ring of your sphincter.
Exactly.
Superman Jesus. That's that one from Gadsville.
Well, I only use holy water in my...
So you get water from the River Jordan and have that go up your butthole.
Right, well, I don't...
Oh, wait, no, it's not just holy water. It's holy water imported from the River Jordan.
Well, it is imported. Now,
the river that borders Jordan, Israel.
One of the only reasons that I still go to mass is to just have a conversation one-on-one with my holy water dealer. We get in these cubes and then, you know, you can't really see the dealer between and they can't really see you. And then, you know, from my dealer, I get the holy water and they say, you know,
Alistair, that's a confessional.
What is?
That's what you just described is a
confessional. I'm not confessing anything.
Well, but you are getting in a confessional where you would see a priest.
Or are you talking about Big Man?
I don't know if I'm talking about Big Man.
So they're called a priest.
Was it a person in robes with a frock and a collar?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a priest.
All right, Barney, then who's the guy that hangs out on the cross all the time, right?
That's Jesus Christ.
I thought that was the priest.
No, that's Jesus Christ.
But yeah, I know he's Jesus Christ. To make. Yeah.
See, I just called them Big Man and no one said anything else.
Wait, I'll tell you what, I could go for a cool glass of holy water right now.
Try it on your arse.
Actually, that's not a bad idea for Bramba. You could load the bidets with holy water and then it would be a two lemons with one stone kind of thing.
Because,
because you would be cleaning the guest and be spitting holy water all over the motel.
Well, I'm going to try that if I could get the number off air of your holy water dealer, of your Big Man.
All right, yeah. No, they're at St. Patrick's on Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays.
So daily.
Daily.
But daily.
But daily.
Oh, but daily.
Day but daily.
No, Alistair, you reminded me. I decided to start using toilet paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm done with this whole sink thing, right?
Right,
you
yeah.
Keep complaining.
And as somebody who used to host you, I would like to say thank you.
You're welcome. In retrospect, thinking about what I've done to these sinks, it's a bit much, right?
It's part of the trade.
But yeah, I'm trying this out, right? It's toilet paper.
Roger, I feel like you're late to a lot of parties.
Look, Barney, never stop learning, right? That's what I say.
Roger, what did you think it was when you would go to a toilet and there would be like toilet paper next to you? What did you think that was for?
What? Do I want to write a letter to someone? write down some lyrics or something? Come on now. I don't want to write.
That's a good idea because you could just keep writing and writing.
Right.
Just it's like a scroll. And pulling.
Right. Yeah.
So what happened? So how's that going? You're
great. But now I got toilet paper all over me floor, right? I'm like, oh no. Just building up in here.
What are you doing? You've got to
get a filing system or something.
Oh, right.
You flush it.
Eh, what?
You flush it down the toilet.
Where the brown stuff goes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're brilliant. All right.
Where the brown stuff goes.
Oh, gosh. I'm never coming over to your home again, Roger. I guess I could say what's new with me. I've started taking up cycling.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I've already got the hang of it. I can hop up on the thing and the wheel spins nice and freely. And people throw money at me when I'm on my cycle.
Are you one of those dancing monkeys? Right? You know, you do the little crank, right? And then the monkey dances and people go, here's some money for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have been clear. A unicycle. I have a unicycle.
I'm
sorry. Apologies.
Because I also thought the monkey thing.
Right.
No, to be clear, I do wear a vest and a fez, and I do hold symbols on the unicycle.
Oh,
It sounds adorable.
And I also, as you know, have a lot of body hair.
That's true. You're like a walking carpet.
Robin Williams gone wrong.
Right, and he's already half ape.
And dead.
Oh.
Bramba, have you ever talked to Robin Williams?
I keep trying. He won't come over. But boy, oh boy, it would be the thrill of a life.
A celebrity ghost?
Right. Yeah, we got all these deadbeat ghosts. And never make anything of themselves.
So, did we do...
No,
Hawk
what's new with you?
Oh, yeah. I'm training spiders.
I love it.
To what end?
Oh, like the Olympics.
What are you training them to do?
Basketball.
They'd be good at that, right? Yeah, a lot of blocks.
Yeah, they get up. They can get all the way up in the net. you know. Can have a little web up there and then smack the ball down. So I'm training them to do that right now. I also, archery, that's a popular one. They love it. They just love it so much.
When you say that they love it.
Like, how do you look at a spider and they've done something and you go, they love it?
Yeah, do they go, way?
They lay a lot of eggs. That's how I know that they're enjoying themselves. Yeah. They also love shot put, you know, because they can take their eggs and woo.
They play shot put with their own young.
With their own young.
Yeah, I taught them to do that.
So, Hawk, what are your chances of getting on the British team?
Feeling good about it. Can't get anything without putting a risk in, you know? Taking a risk, taking a chance. Like our song on the album, Money Finances, take that chance, make that gamble, pay that bill.
Mm-hmm. Yes, responsible for potentially the entire 80s Wall Street crisis.
Yeah, it was a great song.
Too bad we didn't write it. The whole album was ghostwritten, as we now know.
That's a good point.
I'll tell you something about ghostwritten. They leave all sorts of fucking messages on my mirrors.
What are some of those messages?
Oh, they're all things like, you didn't clean this room. And they're like, no, I'm getting to it.
Are you sure that's not just a guest?
I mean, what am I going to do? A forensic test? Either way, I find it rude.
So, Bamba, to kind of to finish the circle, as it were, to close off the lemon, what's new with you?
Oh, I find I'm losing my eyelashes at an alarming pace.
Oh, no. Oh, that's difficult, right?
Like you're misplacing them, or they're just wandering off. Or?
They're like wilting. They're like if you overwater a plant, they get root rot. That's what it's like. Is they droop and then they just fall down my face. Aging is a mystery, you know.
I don't really trust this country's medical system. You know,
you don't like the NHS?
No, you know, I figured they don't know what an American body is like, so I don't want to.
You know, that's true. When I go to America and I go to get a checkup, my mom like, they have no idea what they're fucking dealing with, you know?
So it's not a complaint for socialized medicine. It's simply that you don't believe that the British doctors.
Yeah, you know, if I could find an American doctor out here, that'd be great, but I wouldn't go to podiatrist for my heart. So why would I go to a British doctor for an American woman? It doesn't make any sense.
It's a good point, right?
British doctor for an American woman. That's a song.
That is a song. That could definitely be a song.
Brammy, you're helping us again.
Oh, gosh, you know, that's all I ever wanted was, you know, I was never going to be in the band, so I just, oh, boy, if I could just hang around them, but not the groupie way, because I've known too many people that went down that route and had a perfectly nice time is what I understand, but...
Well,
just not for me, really, as I think I'm getting at.
Well, I suppose I should close it off with a bit of an announcement. Bramba, we have another album that we'll be recording coming up called Jolie's Pit.
I love it.
Yes.
Are we settled on that name?
That's the name that we have been told we have
we
to do
have
by the National
do. We
Enquirer.
We didn't want to, remember?
In a contract that I signed while under cocaine duress. So.
Sure, that'll happen.
Yeah.
Barney, honestly, fuck you and fuck your negotiating skills.
Right.
No, that's not fair because I did not negotiate.
That's what I mean.
And they've dictated that the album must be recorded in London. And gentlemen, we'll be going back to the Windsor Motel.
Oh my god, I'll get your room ready.
I'm actually very excited about that. I mean, I'm partially terrified knowing just how many fucking ghosts are in there.
Right.
I mean, if you didn't notice them the first time, they'll probably leave you alone.
Well, I'm excited to stay there again, Bramba. I look forward to it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh, and thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to run into you.
The pleasure is all mine. Nobody runs into me because they just cannot find me.
Bramba Lunowitz was played by actress, comedian, dancer, singer, and starshine human being Heather Woodward. She is a veteran improviser and sketch director at the Upright Citizens Brigade, and you can catch her improvised true crime mockumentary, Murder Story, The Case for Bobby Pantone, currently running on YouTube. Follow her on Instagram @WoodwardHeather. Hawk Wellington is played by Allison Phillips.
Alistair Ritchie is played by Ryan Coyle. Roger Powers is played by Zach Olson. And Barney St. Clair is played by me, Andrew Young. You can follow the podcast itself at Stone Cold Paradise Podcast on Instagram and at SCP Podcast on Twitter. Or check out the band's website, stonecoldparadise.com.
Oh no! I'm looking, but I can't seem to see any of the street signs.
We can't see the signs. No one's getting mail on Sesame Street, 'cause we can't see the signs.
I'm your friendly mailman delivering the post. My hours are long and I work from coast to coast. I don't get health and dental and I don't get overtime, but my problem right now is I can't see the signs.
We can't see the signs. We can't see the signs. No one's getting mail on Sesame Street, 'cause we can't see the signs.
I'm the guy that sorts the mail. I work all day to separate the mail and send it on its way. My kids don't get to see me, which really makes them frown. And the sign situation means the work slows down.
We can't see the signs. We can't see the signs. No one's getting paid.